Well, it is certainly a great privilege to be here and to see such a good turnout for our Marian Day. And the first topic is on the Legion of Mary as a priestly tool for the new evangelization. And as John said, hopefully it will be a very exciting topic. We don't want to be like that one pastor who had to hire a housekeeper. And he looked long and hard for a housekeeper, and finally he seemed to find the perfect one. And this is in the days where they had the live-in housekeepers. And the housekeeper said, "Father, I'll be happy to take care of all the laundry and cooking and cleaning, but there's one condition. I have a trunk, and I never want you to look in that trunk." And so the pastor said, "Okay, I agree with you. I'll never do that." Well, 30 years went by, and the housekeeper had to go into the hospital for surgery. And all these years, the pastor's curiosity kept growing and growing so much that he figured, "I have to take a look what's in that trunk." So while she was in the hospital, he went to her room, opened up the trunk, and there was filled with $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, and an egg carton. And in that egg carton was 3 eggs. So he closed everything up, and then a week later she came back from the hospital, and a month went by, and his conscience began to get on to affect him, and he went to her for a little confession and said, "Millie, I have to confess. While you're in the hospital, I opened up that trunk. And I don't understand why there were 3 eggs in an egg carton." She says, "Father, well, I'll tell you. I didn't want to tell you, but over the last 30 years, every time you gave a boring homily, I put an egg in the egg carton." Well, the pastor, boy, he was pretty excited. He thought, 3 boring homilies in 30 years. So he began to pat himself on the back, and then he said, "Well, where'd you get all that money?" She said, "Father, every time I got to a dozen, I sold them." Put the money in the trunk. So hopefully our topic is an exciting topic. And I think it is. I think the Legion as a priestly tool for the new evangelization is a very worthwhile and interesting topic. Because we're living in a time which is very grace-filled. I mean, there's literally hundreds and thousands of people returning to the sacraments, coming back to church. Every week, I think, in the last 9 years as a priest, somebody has come back to the sacraments. Somebody says, "Father, can you hear my confession?" And they've been away for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And people are coming into the church. I think God is pouring out many graces at this time. It's a real supernatural occurrence occurring in the church. Think of all the converts that have come into the church. Not only people like Scott Hahn, but there's been about 200 Protestant ministers that have become Catholic in the last 10 years. So we're living in very grace-filled times. The Holy Father calls this the time for the new evangelization. Now, why does he call it a new evangelization? He says, because we have to meet the new challenges that face our society today with the technology and science and the media. So we're faced with new challenges, so we have to come up with new ways, new methods to catechize and to evangelize. The Holy Father wants us to use the media and technology and the internet and other things to reach out to our people. He says a new evangelization must especially reach out to the youth and to young adults. And the Holy Father has seen that the World Youth Days is really a channel to do this. So the Holy Father says that his visit to Denver and to Paris and to Manila were actually aspects of the new evangelization, reaching out to the young. And the Holy Father really wants us to reach out to the unchurched, to the alienated, to those that have drifted away from the church. Now, how can we use the Legion as a tool for the new evangelization? People say, "Well, it's pre-Vatican II." Well, it's funny because when the Legion was started, it was seen as avant-garde. It was seen as something very much pre-Vatican II because it was doing door-to-door evangelization 60 years before Vatican II. It was seen as something very much ahead of its time. And unfortunately, though, right after the Council, it was seen as, pre-Vatican II because it continued to hold on to many of the, for example, the Latin terminology and many other beautiful things. A lot of people don't realize, though, that the Legion's decree, the Legion handbook, was used as a source for the decree on the laity. back in the early 1960s, in Ireland, Frank Duff received a telegram from Rome, and it was the congregation writing the Vatican documents, and they requested two copies of the Legion Handbook in every language. And they were going to use this as one of the sources for the decree on the lay apostolate. So the Legion really was a foreshadowing of Vatican II. The Legion talked about the mobilization of the Catholic laity, which is something Vatican II also talked about. Vatican II referred to the laity as a sleeping giant, that if the laity could waken, it could convert the whole world. So how can we mobilize the Catholic laity? What I'd like to do this morning is to just give you 12 ideas on how the Legion can be a priestly tool for this new evangelization. To make it easier for me to remember, I'm going to use the acrostic device, priestly tool, because there's 12 letters in those two words. So I'd like to give you one idea for every letter. We'll begin with the letter P, which stands for the Legion as a presence of Mary. I truly believe that the Legion is a special manifestation or presence of the Blessed Mother. And we hear a lot about apparitions. We hear a lot about Fatima and Lourdes and many other apparitions. Lourdes in 1858, Fatima in 1917. But there was really an apparition of Our Lady that took place in Dublin in 1921, and it was called the Legion of Mary. This apparition of Our Lady, she did not just come and leave a message of prayer and penance, but she came and she stayed and is still among us. I believe that the Legion is a way in which Our Lady exercises her spiritual maternity through her legionaries. That the Legion is a real presence of our Blessed Mother. I like to call it Our Lady's mystical body in a loose way, not in the same way that the mystical body, that the Church is the mystical body of Christ, but in an analogous way, that the Legion is Our Lady's mystical body, that we're there to care for the Church, to help bring back fallen away Catholics, to heal the wounds and divisions within the Church. And so we see Our Lady's spiritual maternity working through her legionaries. St. Therese once said that Our Lady is more mother than queen. And as we know, Our Lady is the spiritual mother of each person, not only everybody in the Church, but all mankind. Since Christ redeemed all mankind, Mary is the mother of all the redeemed. So she's the mother of each and every soul. And it's really her job from heaven to reach out to souls to bring them to Christ, her Son. And that's why she has appeared at Guadalupe and Lourdes and Fatima, and I believe in organizations like the Legion. Back in the 1950s, Frank Duff was once asked, what's a good one-sentence definition of the Legion of Mary? And he said, the Legion is Mary's up-to-date garment of flesh. Pretty interesting expression. Mary's up-to-date garment of flesh. That is Our Lady exercising her maternity through us. In other words, Mary all over again. Now, this idea is actually found, it was not something I thought of, it's something I read in the talk given in 1948 on December 8th by Cardinal Tedeschini, who was the archpriest of St. Peter's, when he unveiled the statue of St. Louis de Montfort. Remember, Louis de Montfort was canonized in 1947, and they put a statue of him in St. Peter's in 1948. And he said that St. Louis de Montfort was not only a doctor of the Church and a theologian, but he has given us a Mariology that such as no one before him had conceived, that he was the announcer of all the modern manifestations of Mary, from Lourdes to Fatima, from the definition of the Immaculate Conception to the Legion of Mary. So here in St. Peter's, the Legion was considered a special manifestation of our Blessed Mother, just like Lourdes and Fatima. So in our parishes, if we have the Legion or Marian organizations like it, they become a local presence of Our Lady's motherly love for souls. I think so many parishes, unfortunately, are what I call single-parent parishes. They call us Father, right? But where is the Mother within that parish? And I think organizations like the Legion can be the spiritual presence of Mary in our parishes. We know that families that are single parent families have great challenges and difficulties. And same thing with parishes. So if we as the spiritual fathers of our parish can have the presence of Our Lady as a spiritual mother, I believe we can bring even more souls to Christ. And Our Lady is always bringing souls to Christ. Think of Guadalupe, 9 million conversions within 10 years at Guadalupe. The same thing at Lourdes and Fatima. People are converted and brought to Christ because of the presence of Our Lady. And we see that the Legion in Africa and South Korea and the Philippines is growing rapidly, and there's tens of thousands of conversions through Our Lady's spiritual maternity being worked out in the lives of the laity. So first see the Legion and organizations like it as Our Lady's mystical body, Our Lady's spiritual presence on earth. Second letter in priestly tool is R, and stands for the Legion as a reflection of the Church, as a mirror of the Church. You know, the Holy Father and many of the writers have said not only is Our Lady mother of the Church, but she's also the image of the Church. And so I see the Legion as a reflection of the Church, as what I call a mirror of the Catholic Church. Pope John XXIII once said that the Legion presents the true face of the Catholic Church. And that's because the Legion has also four marks. You know, we know that the Church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. One because it has one founder, Jesus Christ, and the Pope as our visible head. We have one sacred scripture. It's holy because Christ founded it, because the Church gives us the sacraments to make us holy. It's Catholic, it's universal, it exists in every country. It's also apostolic. It can trace itself back to the 12 apostles. But the Legion also, I believe, is a reflection of the Church, and it has four marks as well. It's one, it has a unified system that through our Legion handbook and guidelines and prayers that we say. It's holy because Our Lady herself, we believe, was instrumental in the founding of it, and she used a very holy instrument, Frank Duff, who's now up for beatification. The Legion helps to make its members holy. The Legion is Catholic, it's universal, it exists in almost every country of the world. It still uses some of the Latin terminology showing the universality of the Legion. And it's apostolic, it's evangelical. It tries to get every Catholic to fulfill their responsibility as to be apostles. Because of their baptism and confirmation, every Catholic has that obligation to spread the faith. So the Legion transforms ordinary Catholics into apostolic lay apostles to spread the faith. That's one of the things I like so much about the Legion. It produces apostolic souls. Even though the Legion is only a few hours a week, those few hours affect the person's whole life. I found that after somebody's been in the Legion for a short amount of time, even a few weeks or a few months, they begin to develop an apostolic love for souls, and they begin to affect other people through their families, by affecting their spouse, their children, their neighbors, their relatives, friends, co-workers, people that they meet on the metro, people they meet on the bus, people they meet on the checkout line. Once the Legion, even though it's only a few hours a week, can help form an apostolic soul, that person will then send out apostolic ripples to many other countless people, beginning in their own family. And so I have found that the Legionaries have actually brought more conversions and returns to the sacraments in their off-duty times than even on their 2 hours of apostolic work for the week, because they have become an apostolic soul. They have been trained to be on the lookout for souls. One lady in my first parish was a Legionary in my presidium, and she was a hairdresser. And even though she only did 2 hours of apostolic work in the Legion, she probably did 30 or 40 hours of haircutting each week. And she would have a little picture of the Sacred Heart and the Blessed Mother on the mirror, and people would ask her about her faith, and as she was cutting their hair, she would, you know, people would ask her about religion, and she would evangelize and talk to them about the faith. Now, of course, it pays to have sharp scissors in your hands. You know, it's a very big plus. As you're snipping away at somebody's hair to be talking about the faith, we don't always have that advantage in our apologetic works. But the idea is that we can train our laity to be on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for souls. See, the Legion does many kinds of apostolic work. It does things like conversion work. They're called the three C's of the Legion: conversion work, conservation work, and consolation work. Conversion work is things like door-to-door evangelization, street apostolate, meeting people in parks and on streets, and running book barrows, which is Catholic literature racks that are put up near metro stops and different places. That's conversion work. We also do conservation work, which means we're trying to bring back our fallen away Catholics, trying to conserve our Catholic population. And then we also do consolation work, visiting the prisons, the hospitals, the nursing homes, the shut-ins. So these are some of the active works that we do, but these are only done a few hours a week. What we want to do, though, in our parishes is to form apostolic souls so that people will not only do evangelization a few hours a week, but they'll always be on the lookout for souls. And I found, unfortunately, that without organizations like the Legion and other organizations, the laity just won't become apostolic. See, people need support groups. Look at the success of AA, because it's a support group. People get together and they receive support. And so usually a person, a Catholic, will not become apostolic unless they're motivated by a support group, a prayer group like the Legion to train them and educate them and to send them out. Now this is so important that we're apostolic because, as Father Faber says, if we don't spread our faith, we lose our faith. He says, if you're not trying to convert the world will convert you. And that is what has happened so often. So the Legion, as a reflection of the Church, as one holy Catholic and apostolic, can help our lay people to truly become apostolic, to become instruments of God's grace to others, channels of His grace, what I like to call living miraculous medals. You know, Maximilian Kolbe used to give out miraculous medals to people, and he found that this would help them bring them back to the sacraments. It would set up little impulses of grace. And so the legionaries become living miraculous medals in the lives of people and help bring them back to the sacraments. The third letter in priestly tool is I, and that stands for the imitation of Christ. But I believe the Legion and groups like it can help us to imitate Christ, the Good Shepherd, the one who was the one who loved his sheep and even laid down his life for his sheep. Where all of us are called to become an alter Christus, another Christ. And notice what Christ did. He formed apostles, he trained them and sent them out to evangelize. He did not do all the work by himself. In other words, he gathered around himself a mystical body, trained them, educated them, and sent them out to evangelize. Not only did he have the 12 apostles, but he had the 72 disciples that he sent out in pairs. And then they went out to do his work of spreading the gospel and preaching, doing his missionary work. And then what did they do? They came back to him and reported to him on what they had done and what they had seen. And that pattern that our Lord established is what we're called to do as a priest, I believe. That we're called to incorporate other people into our mission of helping to save souls. Christ had a mystical body around himself, and so we too must have members. And that's what we do in the Legion, is gather a group of apostolic souls. We train them, educate them, form them, and then send them out, like our Lord sent out the 72 in pairs. And then they come back and report at the meeting on what they had done in the prisons, or what they had done among the shut-ins in the nursing homes and in the evangelization work that they do. So it's so important for us to imitate Christ the Good Shepherd in this way, that he sent out his apostles and received them back and got to listen to their reports. Now notice, our Lord handpicked his 12 apostles. He chose them. And I believe we too, as priests, will be called to invite the laity to the apostolate. The scriptural image that comes to mind are the people that were out at 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock and late in the afternoon, and they were around idle all day because nobody came to hire them. So the priest is like the owner of the vineyard who comes out and hires the people to go out and do the work of Christ. And I believe that the people, unfortunately, will be standing there idle all day if we're not the ones to go out and to invite them to work to bring about a harvest for the Lord. Now, we too should be able to handpick our apostles. When you're in your parish and you see somebody at a daily mass or a Sunday mass, invite them into the church's work for souls. You know, the priest who got my dad in the Legion was named Father Zoll. He tried for 2 years to get my dad in the Legion, but my dad was very reluctant to do it. that was a group of little old ladies. He didn't want to join that group. And so one day, because Father Zoll was my dad's confessor and spiritual director, one day my dad went to confession, and Father Zoll said, "Bill, for your penance, join the Legion of Mary." Now that was 40 years ago. I say, "Dad, what did you confess to get 40 years of a penance?" Actually, the actual penance was more of a recommendation in spiritual direction. It wasn't actually his penance. But then, thank God, he did join because he met my mom in the Legion. They met at a Curia meeting. So I tell people it pays to be an officer. You might meet your spouse at the meeting. And then, on their honeymoon, my mom and dad went to Ireland and Lourdes on their honeymoon and spent time with Frank Duff. And Father Zoll went with them on their honeymoon. It's the only time I know of a priest going with a couple that he did their wedding and go with them. I mean, when my sister went to the Virgin Islands on her honeymoon, she didn't invite me along. So it was very interesting that it took Father Zoll 2 years to get my dad in the Legion. And actually, they invited him to go along with them on the honeymoon to meet with Frank Duff and to spend time in Ireland and Lourdes. But I think the point is that we're going to see souls that we should be able to invite into the apostolate. And these souls will be people that we're giving spiritual direction to, maybe somebody in confession, say, "Father, what can I do to serve the God, to serve the church, to serve God?" We'll be seeing people that convert to the Catholic faith by coming through the RCIA program. We could plug them in to a group like the Legion to get them involved in the church, because unfortunately, many people fall away even after they're brought into the church. I think some of the best legionaries are people that have recently returned to the sacraments and people that have recently had their marriages blessed because they're very excited about the church. They're like our converts, which are really the lifeblood of the church. So whenever we see a person that we think that we should invite, feel free to do that in imitation of Christ, who chose his apostles and then formed them and sent them out. Because obviously we can't reach all the souls in our parish boundaries by ourselves. We need help. And St. Pius X was once asked, "What is the most important thing to save society?" And the cardinals were asking him, and they said, "Well, Holy Father, would it be to get more vocations?" The Pope said, "No." "Would it be to build more Catholic churches?" The Pope said, "No." "How about more schools?" The Pope said, "No." He said, "Well, what then would save society?" And the Pope, St. Pius X, said, "What is most needed to save society in this present age is to have in each parish a group of laymen at the same time virtuous, enlightened, determined, and really apostolic." And that's what we're called to do in our parishes, is to enlighten, to help the lay people grow in virtue and holiness, and to send them out as apostles. Now, when St. Pius X was a bishop, when he would go around to visit his parishes and talk to his priests, he wasn't so much concerned as how many parishioners they had in their parish. You know what he would ask them? He would ask them, "How many lay apostles do you have in your parish? How many apostolic souls do you have?" That's what the Holy Father was concerned with, not how many people were on the books, but how many lay apostles could radiate the apostolate. So the Legion gives us an opportunity to imitate Christ. The fourth letter in priestly tool is E, and it stands for education, adult education in the faith. I see the Legion as helping to solve the problem, which is perhaps the number one problem in the church today, is lack of adult education in the faith. There's a crisis, as you know, in catechesis. Catechesis for the children and catechesis for the adults. We need to educate our people in the Catholic faith, in doctrine and spirituality. And I see the Legion and groups like it as organizations that can help us to educate our Catholic people. And the first way the Legion, for example, could educate our people is through the Presidium meeting itself. And we should not consider the Legion meeting really as a meeting. We should look upon it as a spiritual exercise, in a sense as a prayer meeting, as a spiritual formation meeting, as an opportunity to give spiritual direction to the laity. At the Presidium meeting, we read from the Legion Handbook, which is a spiritual classic. In the Legion Handbook, there's 173 quotes from Sacred Scripture. Out of 368 pages, it means on every other page are quotations from Sacred Scripture. Over 62 saints are referred to and talked about in the handbook. Over 40 church documents and over 60 papal encyclicals and papal documents are mentioned and referred to in the Legion handbook. So it really is an encyclopedia of the spiritual life. I consider it a modern-day introduction to the devout life, which was written by St. Francis de Sales to give spiritual direction to the laity. And the Legion handbook, I believe, can help us in our desire to catechize and to spread the faith among our laity today. Also, the allocutio that the priest gives, which is the 5 to 6 minute talk at the Legion meeting, is a wonderful opportunity for giving adult education, to talk about some Legion topic, like the mystical body of Christ, or Mary's motherhood of souls, or the Blessed Trinity, or the call to evangelize. And we should be careful not to give just a warmed over Sunday homily or daily homily. That's a temptation for us. But we should realize that at the spiritual exercise, the allocutio, which is the address of the priest to the lay people, is really the apex of the spiritual exercise. And the difference between a good allocutio and a bad allocutio is the difference between a trained and an untrained army. So we want to equip our apostles with Catholic theology and Legion spirituality so they can go out and spread the faith. Also in the Legion meeting, at the end of the meeting, there's something called the study of the faith, which is something which is optional, but I try to do this in my groups. I know other priests try to do this. It means at the end of the meeting, spend the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes discussing some good spiritual classic. And it's up to the spiritual director to choose a book. In the past, I've done books on apologetics and the St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion, or The Imitation of Christ, or The Introduction to Devout Life, or The Soul of the Apostolate. What the legionaries do, everybody's given a copy of the book, and on their own during the week, they're asked to read, let's say, 3 pages of the book on their own. And then at the end of the meeting, everybody goes around and just makes a comment about something that struck them from that reading during the week. So it's a great way to continue to form the legionaries in their faith, as well as the reading from the Legion Handbook at the beginning of every meeting. We can use the study of the faith as an opportunity to give adult education for our members. Then there's also the master and apprentice system, which means that, in a sense, that we have to train our lay people. And even on their assignments, they're trained by more experienced members of the Legion. For example, we just don't send 2 inexperienced people going out door to door. You send an experienced sort of master with an apprentice, with a brand new member. And that's what trains them. Just like doctors will train the interns, and waiters will train others, and pilots will train others. So we need experienced apostles to train the newcomers that come. And so within a few weeks, the apprentice is soon the master and can go out and train others in the work of door-to-door evangelization. And lastly, under education, another system that the Legion offers us is what's called the Patricians. You might have heard about this. The Patricians is a monthly adult education program that's run and sponsored by the Legion, but it's open to Catholics from the parish or from anywhere. And it's a meeting in which a layperson gives a 15-minute talk, and then it's discussed for 45 minutes, and then there's a break for refreshments. And then the priest gives a 15-minute talk to sort of clear up all the heresies that have been spoken. And then there's 20 more minutes of discussion, followed by a closing prayer. Now, I've had this in my last couple parishes, and this is one of the most amazing adult education systems I've ever seen. We would get an average of maybe 40 to 60 people come to these meetings, and every month we would pick a topic, usually on apologetics or some other interesting topic, such as what do Catholics believe about Mary, about the saints, the Eucharist, purgatory, the papacy, salvation, you know, faith and works, sola scriptura, how the Reformation happened, why go to confession to a priest, how to keep your kids Catholic. That was one of the most interesting ones. We had over 60 people because they really wanted to learn how to keep their kids Catholic. So these are some of the topics that you can use in the Patricians. So it's run by the Legion. They have the Legion altar set up, and it's set up very much like you're set up today. And the layperson comes up and gives a talk, and then the laity discuss it. So I have found this to be one of the most incredible systems for adult education. So I encourage you, when you're in your parishes, to get your Legion Presidium to start a patrician group. It's something they can do to really benefit the entire parish. The fifth word in priestly tool, fifth letter, is S, and that stands for the Legion as a maker of saints, as a saint maker, or a school for saints. Because our real purpose as priests is not just to educate our people, but it's to help make them holy. And that's really the only thing that matters, is holiness, is sanctity. And so we need to use organizations and whatever we can use to help make people holy, that God can use many things to make people holy, and I believe the Legion is one of them. Frank Duff, the founder, once said that the Legion makes saints and makes them by the bushel. And the Legion is only 78 years old. It's just an infant in the church compared to orders and movements that have been around for 800 years. It's just an infant, only 78 years old, and yet already it has 5 members up for beatification. Frank Duff, the founder, Edel Quinn, the missionary to Africa, Alphonsus Lamb, a missionary to South America, Michael E. King from Africa, and Joaquina Lucas from the Philippines. And then there's also been as many as 4,000 martyrs of the Legion in communist China, and about 40,000 legionaries suffered persecution, and we know for sure of at least 4,000 martyrs. Hopefully maybe some of these will one day be canonized. So the Legion, I believe, is a maker of saints, and we're so blessed that Frank Duff's cause, Frank Duff the founder, that his cause is progressing very rapidly over in Ireland and in Rome. Now, Frank Duff was an interesting man. I believe he's the greatest lay apostle of the 20th century. I can think of no other layman that did more for the church than Frank Duff in founding an organization that has right now close to 8 million active members and maybe 20 million auxiliary members. Now, Frank Duff was very interesting because he devoted his whole life to serving the church. He never married, even though he had 3 or 4 secretaries that all were in love with him and would have loved to marry him. Somebody once said, "Frank Duff, why don't you marry one of these secretaries of yours?" He says, "Why should I make one woman miserable when I can keep at least 6 waiting in hopeful expectation?" I think it's a great line. Frank Duff, when he died back in, I believe, 1980, my dad went over for the funeral, and some of the legionaries from Philadelphia went over for his funeral. And my dad asked some of the Legion officers in the Concilium in Dublin if they could get a relic of Frank Duff, because they thought that one day he might be a saint. And so my dad was hoping for a piece of his ground scapula or a medal that Frank Duff had worn, maybe a necktie he could cut up and give out to different people. You know what they gave my dad? They gave my dad Frank Duff's stapler. Yeah, it's a relic, But actually, it's a second-class relic, and every time you use it, it punches out third-class relics. So it's actually a better relic than people think. It's probably better than having his necktie. So I believe that with these 5 beatifications, and hopefully with the Chinese martyrs being canonized one day, the Legion will be seen as a real school for saints. And I believe the Legion is a school for saints because it's a Christ-centered Marian spirituality. It helps to give spiritual formation to the lay people. And every time the members come together at the Presidium meeting, they enter into a powerhouse of grace. They enter into a cenacle with the Blessed Mother. Every time I go to my Legion meeting, I consider it an appointment with Our Lady and the Apostles. And we're gathered in prayer, praying for the Holy Spirit to come upon us so we can go out like at Pentecost and spread the faith to our people. The Legion, I think, helps to make saints because of its devotion to Our Lady, because of the fact that we say the rosary at every meeting. We have our Legion prayers. We have our spiritual reading. We discuss the doctrines of the faith, things like the mystical body and Mary's motherhood of souls. And the Legion also promotes the sacramental life of the church. It encourages its members to undertake daily Mass and the praying of the Liturgy of the Hours and regular confession. And it helps, I believe, what I've found it to do, that it encourages and actually helps a person to grow in the spirit of generosity, courage, self-sacrifice, self-discipline, obedience, and the virtues. So it does help to make saints of its members. I remember back, my dad telling me a neat story of when he went to visit a Presidium, and all they had were 4 little old ladies around the table. afterwards, my dad was talking to the priest and said, you know, it's a shame you only have, you know, four little old ladies in your presidium. And the priest said, you know, I don't consider it that. I'm very proud of my presidium. He says, I have four saints around my table. And that's exactly what they were. And I had been so edified by seeing so many different Legion groups, little 80-year-old ladies going out, going door to door, going to do the prison work and the hospital work. And even if, you know, we might not think that, wow, it might not be a very impressive-looking presidium, I think that that they truly do become saints because of the doctrines and the spirituality and the formation that they receive through the Legion. The sixth letter in Priestly is T, and it stands for the true devotion to Mary, which I believe is one of the hallmarks of the Legion. And it's really devotion to Our Lady has always been one of the hallmarks of the saints. The true devotion to Mary, I believe, is really what makes the legionaries holy and brings them closer to God. And I'm sure with Father Miller here at the seminary, you hear quite a wonderful talks about the true devotion. So what is this true devotion, and how can we explain it to our lay people? First of all, let them know that the true devotion is really just the renewal of our baptismal vows and promises. But it's renewing our baptismal vows and promises through the Blessed Mother, that in the consecration that we make to Jesus through Mary, we reject Satan, profess our faith in Christ, and decide to follow him all the days of our life. So the true devotion is a consecration of our whole self, past, present, and future, to Jesus through Mary. It's entering into a holy slavery of love. It's a slavery in which we give all of our spiritual goods and material goods, without exception, to Jesus through Mary. So it's entrusting ourselves to them and trying to live in total dependence upon them and living in union with them, to then try to think with Mary's mind, to speak with Mary's words, to act as Our Lady would. If we do these things with Mary, in Mary, through Mary, and for Mary, as Louis de Montfort says, we do all things in, with, through, and for Christ. And I believe that the true devotion really is one of the greatest gifts we can give to our lay people. See, your goal as priest and my goal as a priest is to help form the image of Christ in our people. Isn't that true? And what better way than to encourage them to give themselves to Our Lady and the Holy Spirit, and to allow them to form and fashion the image of Christ within them. Isn't that what happened 2,000 years ago? It was Mary and the Holy Spirit working together that formed the image of Christ, that formed Christ within Mary's womb. And so the same principle applies today. Today, Mary and the Holy Spirit are forming us into the image and likeness of Christ. And that's what holiness is being like Christ, having union with Christ. So we ask Our Lady and the Holy Spirit to give birth to Christ within us, to help the image of Christ grow and to be formed within us. So I believe that the true devotion is really one of the secrets of holiness today. And really all it is imitation of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Well, where's the first place that the footsteps of Christ went? Didn't Jesus say, if you want to be a follower of mine, you must renounce yourself, carry your cross every day, and follow in my footsteps? Where did the footsteps of Christ go? They went into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Christ made himself totally dependent upon Our Lady. And so if we're going to be an Alter Christus, we have to also make ourselves totally dependent upon Our Lady, to allow her to form us into the image of her Son. Notice Jesus was completely dependent upon Our Lady for 9 months in the womb, and then for 30 years in obedience to our Blessed Mother. There's a cute story of Jesus dressed up as the infant of Prague, you know, in that wonderful, you know, silk garment with gold, and he's holding the ball, and the Blessed Mother is pointing to him and says, I don't care whose son you are, you're not going out dressed to play like that. And that tells us an interesting principle, that Jesus obeyed the Blessed Mother. He was completely dependent upon her. And so we too, as imitators of Christ, must also be dependent upon our Blessed Mother. Now this devotion to Our Lady, this true devotion, I believe has produced more saints and holy people in this century than any other single book. We think of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who read and lived de Montfort's true devotion. Matt Talbot was a drunk, an alcoholic, until he was given a copy of the true devotion. After he read it, it converted his, it changed his whole life. And he, as you know, is now up for canonization. Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn, also St. Pius X, that was one of his bedside reading books, as well as The Soul of the Apostolate. He had a big bedside, I'm not sure if you know, but St. Pius X, every time you read a book, this was a bedside reading book of Pius X, you know, The Story of the Soul, The Introduction to Devout Life. But The True Devotion was one of his books, a great book on spirituality. Also, Mother Teresa, this was her spirituality, De Montfort's True Devotion. And of course, we know Pope John Paul II said that the reading of The True Devotion was a turning point in his life. So I believe that the greatest gift we could really give to our lay people is to teach them the true devotion. And March 25th and August 15th and December 8th are opportunities in our parish where we could get people to make the consecration. I have about 100 people that will be preparing to make the consecration for March 25th. It starts on February 20th of this coming month. The next letter in Priestly is L, and it stands for the Legion as a lay vocation. See, now we're not just helping people grow spiritually, we're actually giving them a lay vocation. This is something we can offer to people, a way of life. So I never consider the Legion just an organization. I consider it a lay vocation. The Legion can become for many people an expression of their Christian vocation because it encourages poverty, chastity, and obedience in accordance with their state of life. For example, poverty of spirit, detachment from the things of this world, generosity to the poor, growing in humility. It encourages chastity, imitating of Our Lady's purity according to the duties of their state in life, and encourages obedience to the Legion system and obedience to the Church. And a couple ways in which the Legion could be seen as helping to foster a lay vocation is, first of all, what's called Praetorian membership. Some of you might be familiar with this. This is an active member that attends Mass and receives communion each day, says the Rosary every day and the Legion prayer card, and prays the Liturgy of the Hours. And that's called a Praetorian member. And in my presidium, I have about maybe 18 members in my presidium now because we just split. We now have a day presidium as well as an evening group as well as a junior group. I found that I, at least a couple times a year, I encourage my members to consider undertaking Praetorian membership, which encourages them to grow deeper in their prayer life and their spiritual life. Another aspect of the Legion which we don't often hear about is called the Peregrinatio Pro Christo, which is when lay people, legionaries, give up a week or 2 weeks and go to a different country or a different part of the state and do a peregrinatio, which means an adventuring for Christ, where they live in a parish, maybe in the school, they sleep in sleeping bags, and they spend about 6 hours a day going door to door. The morning, they have Mass, they have a meeting, they're sent out on their assignments, they go door to door, they come back and report on the work, and every night they have benediction and night prayer. So it's like an apostolic retreat. So I encourage you, if you've never been on a peregrinatio, consider going on one. I've been on about 10 or 12, and it's a life-changing experience. You go to some of the Baptist areas, you go to North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi, other places, and within about a week, you'll visit like 3,000 homes, because sometimes you'll have 30 legionaries go and do a peregrinatio. And every year, the Legion goes into Russia and Poland and other parts of Europe as well. And the last part of the Legion as a lay vocation is that some of your legionaries might even become extension workers or what's called an Incale Maria, an inhabitant for Mary. And this is when a legionary will actually want to serve the Church a lot more, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What they do is they move to a foreign country, they get a job, and they work, you know, 40 hours in some kind of a job, and then they spend their free time doing Legion work, setting up Presidia, doing evangelization, doing door-to-door. Iceland was a place where the Legion has had a mission for about like the last 25 years. People would go and spend a year of their life getting a job working in the factory or being an au pair or a nanny, and then they spend all their evenings, 5 nights a week, going door-to-door and spreading the faith. So these are aspects of the Legion you don't always hear about, but they're sort of ways in which the Legion could become a lay vocation for some of your future parishioners. The last letter in Priestly is Y, And that stands for the youth and the young adults. Because an organization that doesn't reach out to the youth will have no future. And so the Holy Father in the new evangelization says we must reach out especially to the youth and to the young adults. And I believe that through the Legion we can do this in what's called the Junior Presidia, where we get kids ages 8 to 14 and the intermediates, which is high school age kids. Now, in my own parish, I have a junior presidium, which I started back in September, which has about 20 kids. And it's a wonderful group of kids because it's a combination of homeschooled kids, public school kids, and Catholic school kids. And we meet every Monday at 3:15, right after school's over. Of course, the meeting is run just like a regular meeting with a rosary, spiritual reading, and discussion, and reports. And my junior legionaries visit our shut-ins. We have three nursing homes they visit. They visit families with newly baptized babies and welcome them, in a sense, to the parish, giving the parents miraculous medals and rosaries. So the Junior Presidia is one way in which we can reach out to the youth. Also with the intermediates, these are the high school age. And these are the age which we give them more challenging works. We have them actually doing door-to-door evangelization with the adult legionaries. They do the book barrow, which is the Catholic literature racks in front of the malls and in front of shopping centers. Also, one particular thing I think that we as priests can really encourage is getting young adults in the Legion. This has always been one of my special goals, especially targeting the ages 18 to 35, because many of these young adults are single, they have a little extra time, they want to develop good Catholic friendships, and it's a wonderful place for them to help discern their vocation. Some of them we've had Presidia in Virginia, where two or three of the young adult legionaries have gone off to the seminary or to the convent, like to the Nashville Dominicans or to a religious order or to the diocesan priesthood. But also, many of them have found their spouse. And so some of them, since I've been a priest, I've probably done 7 or 8 legion marriages of young couples that actually met in the legion and then got married. There's one presidium in Cork, Ireland, where in one presidium, in 1 year, they had 5 weddings come out of that one presidium. It was the most popular group in Ireland for young adults to join. Also with the youth, there's what's called the Youth Evangelization Projects. This is something I've helped with about 10 of these, where you get young adult legionaries to go to a parish and to evangelize on a weekend. They get there Friday night, they work all day Saturday, and they leave on Sunday. Get 40 or 50 young adult legionaries. There's one coming up in St. Leo's Parish in Fairfax in March, and all of you are welcome to go along on this if you're interested. In a weekend, they'll probably visit 1,000 or 1,500 homes in one weekend of door-to-door, and it's phenomenal to see the young people do this. So I believe that the Legion can help us to reach out to the young. Also, there's such a thing as the junior patricians. Remember the patricians, that adult education system? They also have a junior patricians, which my sister and Father Ledacki run every month in Narstown. And it's phenomenal, the topics that these kids discuss and learn about. So I believe that the Legion can help us reach out for the young, and also it can keep our members young. I've often promised my legionaries that if you join the Legion, you'll look 10 years younger, that it'll take 10 years off your life. So that's been one of my best recruiting techniques. Because the Legion does, I believe, keep us young. Because Our Lady was always young in that sense, always young in spirit, young in heart. Even Frank Duff was riding a bicycle at the age of 91. In fact, he never drove. He only drove once in his life when he was a young man. He borrowed his brother's car, and the engine exploded the first time he ever drove the car. So from then on, he always rode his bicycle all over Ireland. Some of you have heard of Father Aidan McGrath, who's 94 years old. He's still flying all over the world, spreading the Legion in Asia and other parts of the Philippines. They say he's on his 5th guardian angel. He's gone through. He was the one who was in communist China. He was in solitary confinement for 3 years. So the Legion can truly help us stay young of heart and young of spirit. And I've often told my legionaries that if we can encourage them to join the Legion, they'll receive a special blessing from the Blessed Mother. See, I believe you cannot outdo Our Lady in generosity, that if you do something for her, she'll do something for you. There was a priest I knew, Father Canon Ripley from Liverpool, England. He was a chaplain during World War II, and he started the Presidio among the prisoners that were in England at the time. And there was one young fella who had been in an explosion in a tank, and he'd lost all his hair. And Father Ripley asked him to join the Legion. And the young man says, "Well, Father, you think if I join the Legion, the Blessed Mother will give me my hair back, will help me grow my hair?" And Father Ripley said, "I think she will." So 3 months after this fellow joined the Legion, he had the most beautiful head of hair. It had grown almost miraculously. I told my dad that, and he said it hasn't helped him in 40 years. So just to conclude now with the last few letters. And the last word is tool, and the T stands for time investment or time management. You see, you're going to be very busy as a priest. For example, we'll be doing Sunday Masses, daily Masses, homilies, talks, confessions, baptisms, weddings, funerals. And Father Groeschel says he always prefers funerals rather than weddings because he always knows that every funeral he does is valid. Not every wedding he does is valid. But yeah, we're going to be very busy. We're going to be giving pre-canon instructions. We're going to be doing marriage counseling, giving spiritual direction, teaching in the school, teaching CCD, teaching RCIA, teaching adult ed, working with CYO, working with pro-life, working with Knights of Columbus, altar servers, and hopefully starting perpetual adoration and many other things in our parishes, things for young adults, married couples, and other kinds of groups. So where does the Legion fit in? See, I believe, though, for me, next to the Mass and administering the sacraments, hearing confessions, the Legion is the best use of my time because I'm training the lay people. See, if I go to a meeting which lasts an hour, hour and a half, I'm actually getting 30 hours of apostolic work done every single week. 30 hours a week for my investment of 1 hour or 1.5 hours. See, if every member, if you have 15 members in your group, every member is doing 2 hours of apostolic work each and every week. Even when you're away on vacation, even when you're away in retreat, those legionaries are doing door-to-door and other kinds of works, 2 hours each person every single week. It's really one of the greatest gifts you could leave your parish after you move on, because think of all the souls that they will meet even after you leave. It's a great way to be able to multiply one's influence. Father Bradshaw once said the Legion, that every priest should do 100 men's work a day, but use 100 men to do it. That's a Legion principle, is use 100 people to help do our work. So it's one of the best time investments that we could make. There was a priest in Lisbon, Portugal, that I visited who had 9 presidia. Every Wednesday, he had 3 meetings in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 3 in the evening. And he had 100 lay apostles. And that one day multiplied himself, and he got thousands of hours of apostolic work done. In my first parish, I had 6 presidia of the Legion, about 50 to 60 active members, each of them doing 2 hours of work. That was about 5,000 hours of apostolic work done each and every year by the legionaries. Now, in South Korea, most parishes have 60 to 90 presidia in one parish. The Korean parish in Arlington Diocese has 21 presidia in one parish. A couple years ago, at RCIA, you know how many converts they had? 250 converts. So we're lucky if we get 25, you know, in RCIA. They had 250. So I believe the Legion can help us to reach out to everybody in our parish boundaries, the unchurched, the fallen aways, and can help us in so many ways. So I believe it's a very good time investment. The last couple letters is O, and that stands for the Legion gives us order in our spiritual life. Because we're going to be very busy as priests. And I would recommend using the Franklin Planner. Anybody use the Franklin Planner? Okay, it's very good. So we need to have order in our spiritual life. And I found that the Legion can help me, for example, grow in the spiritual life through the weekly meeting, through listening to the reports and the discussion, that I am edified by being around the legionaries. And the Legion can help give order to the layperson's spiritual life as well through the meeting and the assignment and the daily prayers, and also to the lay apostolate. Because what happens is that so many times souls are lost sight of. You know, you visit somebody, and then people forget about them. Whereas in the Legion, we have notebooks, we have minutes, we can continue to do the follow-ups, and so we don't lose sight of many important cases. The next O stands for orthodoxy, that the Legion is known for its loyalty to the Church, to the Holy Father, to the Magisterium, and loyalty to the pastor and to the priest. And so the teachings of the Legion, thank God, have always remained solid, with a solid Christology, Mariology, and Ecclesiology. And lastly, the last letter in priestly tool is L, and that stands for a Legion priest. See, in my mind, there's a difference between somebody that supports the Legion or encourages it and somebody that truly becomes a Legion priest. And in my mind, a Legion priest is somebody animated by the spirituality of the Legion, by the true devotion. A priest who is a Marian priest, an apostolic priest, who goes on the lookout for souls like St. John Vianney. He was out there pounding the pavement, visiting his parishioners. And Bishop Sheen once said, the problem with the church today is a priest spent too much time in the rectory and not enough time knocking on doors and being out with the people. Look at St. Charles Borromeo, who went out to visit his parishes and his people. So I think the Legion can help us to be an apostolic priest, to always be on the lookout for souls. And the patron saint of a Legion priest is St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Apostle, because he was Mary's priest. He was entrusted to Our Lady at the foot of the cross, and she was entrusted to him. He was a beloved disciple of Jesus. He loved the Sacred Heart. He loved the Eucharist. He was devoted to Our Lady. And that, I believe, is what all of us are called to be, is a Marian apostolic priest. And I encourage you, maybe we should even start what's called the Fraternity of St. John the Apostle, which would be a nice confraternity of priests who will promote the true devotion, the Legion, devotion to the Sacred Heart, love for the Eucharist, and devotion to our Blessed Mother. That might be a nice thing for one of you to start, the confraternity of John the Apostle or John the Evangelist. So in conclusion, I believe that as Legion priests, we can truly grow in our devotion to Our Lady and our love for Christ. And we can, in a sense, experience a vocation within a vocation. That as members of the Legion, we will be truly blessed with wonderful friendships, with a growth in our own spirituality, in motivation. See, every time I go to a meeting, I am edified and motivated by the Legionaries. So I think it helps us not become complacent in our priestly life. Because when you hear the wonderful work that the lay people are doing in evangelizing, it can help us get off our ecclesiastical rear ends and get out there doing things to spread the faith. So I encourage you to look into the Legion if you're not familiar with it. Read the handbook, learn about it, study it, make the total consecration according to De Montfort. And I believe if you do this, and if we hopefully, God willing, become Legion priests, we will really have a very blessed and fulfilled priestly vocation. Thank you. God bless.